stream. We pray that we would have a good service today. A couple announcements. Tomorrow night, the council will be meeting at 7 o'clock. So if there's anything you need to let a council member know, let them know, and we can discuss it tomorrow night. Then I have a special announcement here. I got a text this morning and a picture from Patrick. Patrick and Caitlin had their baby boy yesterday at 9 o'clock p.m. His name is Jace Russell Vischer. You want to know all the stats? 8 pounds, 14 ounces, 22 inches long. He is so loved. Baby and mama are doing great. Everything went perfectly, Patrick said. God is good. So we can have joy in the birth of another baby to our congregation. We'd like to welcome Mr. Sherwin Balkema again for leading us in worship. So he'll be leading us this morning. Would you, for our call to worship, you can remain seated. It comes from Psalm 95, verse 6. Come, let us worship. At this time, we're going to light the first Advent candle. On this first Sunday of Advent, we light the candle of hope. Isaiah gives us a vision of a kingdom yet to come where everything has been made new and where creation is at peace. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. We light this candle of hope as a sign of our waiting and expectation for the coming of Christ. Would you rise now as we sing, Lo, how a rose e'er blooming.
Thank you. We have that promise of the Savior. In fact, we already have celebrated that in our lives if we know Him as our Savior. Let's continue on with the responsive reading. It'll be on the screen. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in His word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with Him is great power to redeem. Glory to God the Father, to Jesus the Messiah, and to the Holy Spirit. Let's continue on with you may be seated. As we come to our God, we acknowledge that we are sinners. And so it's appropriate for us to pray now a prayer of confession. Will you pray with me? We wait and we hope. For many of us, Christmas feels like a time in which we do neither. The season has become one of parties and extra activities, plans with family, year-end deadlines, and purchasing gifts. There's not much space for us to wait and feel hopeful. So this morning we begin our time of prayer by carving out some space for silence and for silent prayers to God, or maybe just for silence before God. Emmanuel, God with us. In this Advent season, we confess how difficult it is to slow down. We don't want to wait patiently for anything, and instead we buy into the busyness of the season, leading many of us to feel a lack of joy and a lack of hope. When we look at the world around us, it's hard to feel hopeful about the world, about our nation, about ourselves. We are surrounded by death, destruction, pain, and we long for a day when your promised kingdom comes to make all things new. Give us hope that this day is indeed coming, and help us to rest in this, because your promises are always true. Amen. This is followed by God's promise that he will forgive us of our sins. So I read from Our World Belongs to God, an assurance of pardon. Our hope for a new creation is not tied to what humans can do. For we believe that one day, every challenge to God's rule will be crushed. His kingdom will fully come, and the Lord will rule. Come, Lord Jesus, come. We have the privilege as Christians and the freedom in this country to come to our God publicly or privately in prayer. At this time, we have an opportunity to pray to God, to give him adoration, give him thanksgiving, to bring our prayer requests to him, but also to confess our sins and our faults before him. Will you pray with me? We praise you, God, for your creation, your handiwork in nature. Thank you that you're a God of order, in control. You see all things. You know all things. You guide all things. We praise you that you are a God of grace, extended to mankind, gift of your Son, whose life and death and resurrection we remember on this day. We praise you that you are a God of mercy, but also a God of justice, but most of all, a God of love. You love us, your people. You have brought us into a right relationship with you through the saving work of your Son. We thank you for that love, for guidance and direction in our hearts and our lives, for blessing us with so much. We're thankful that we can be in relationship with you and in prayer and in your word. Thank you for salvation in your Son. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who guides us. Thank you for families and friends that we can share life together. Thank you for freedom, freedom to worship, to do the things we choose to do. For health, doctors, nurses, hospitals, specialists. Thank you for talents and abilities you have given us. Thank you for the opportunity we have to provide for our needs and for the gifts that you have given us so that we may give to others and be involved in their lives. We thank you that we can encourage and support and show grace to them. We thank you for the good things that have happened to people of this congregation, for health and healing, for strength given in time of need, for a new baby in this congregation, for people who have come alongside those who have been struggling, for your grace extended in so many ways. We confess that the grace that extended to us, we acknowledge that we are sinners. We don't like to refer to ourselves that way. We fall short of your expectations of us. We often put ourselves first before you. We seek our own way. We seek to please others more than we seek to please you. We often neglect to show love to others, even though we have been shown such great love by you. We ask that you forgive us for being unforgiving to others. We hold grudges. We separate ourselves from those from whom we have experienced hurt. We often hold ourselves to a higher standard than you do by not forgiving ourselves when we make a mistake or do or say something wrong or hurtful. We are needed of that grace every day, for forgiveness every day. We also have the opportunity to bring to you our cares and concerns. That's a part of the privilege of coming to you in prayer. You encourage us to do that. We ask that you guide and direct our lives so that we can live up to our name, Christian, a child of God, that we may live out our lives in obedience. We pray for those who have struggles in their lives, those who struggle in their relationship with you, those who feel distant from you, those who are seeking you, those who do not yet know you. We pray for those who struggle in their relationship with others, those who have hurts, those who are separated from those they love or have been in close relationship with. Pray for those who have gone through or are experiencing divorce, including the children. There can be a lot of hurt there. We pray for healing. We pray for those with limitations, those with mental and physical issues that limit what they can do and how they can function in love, in life. We pray for and give thanks for those that care for them and come alongside them to help get through their day and help them get in a better place. Pray for those dealing with health limitations, those recovering from surgery, those going through treatments, those who deal with life-changing illness. Especially now we pray for those that are dealing with the COVID virus. There's so many affected all around us, and we just pray that the impact of that is minimal, and that those who are vulnerable to that virus don't get it. Pray for the elderly as they go through each day. Pray that each They see that they have value and that they still have a purpose in their lives. We pray for families, parents who give guidance to their children, children as they respond to their parents, for children who care for failing parents. Pray for the interaction with each other, the love, grace, and forgiveness be shown there. Pray for those who have experienced loss, loss of a family member or friend, those who have to go on with life alone. Pray for Consoles that meets tomorrow night. We give thanks for the birth of Jace to Patrick and Caitlin. We pray for other needs and situations within this congregation. It may be financial, need of a job, shortness of income. We ask that you provide for them as they trust in you. We pray for a good week. Pray for good relationships with each other, that love may be shown. We pray that we can apply what we have heard and experienced in this day to our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, offerings will be at the back. You can drop off anything that you want to give to the church at this time. But now we're going to have a song of preparation, You Are Mine. We rise to sing.
Thank you.
seated. Will you pray with me as we open God's word and hear from it? Thank you, Father, for your word, the freedom we have to read from it, to study it, to understand it better. Pray for wisdom as we listen to your word here from the Gospel of John about eternal life. Just ask you, Joe, guide my words and my thoughts too as I bring this message to these your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Our scripture reading is from several passages, but they're mostly short passages. The first one is from John 5, verse 24. Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. And then from chapter 17, 1 through 5, after Jesus said this, this is Jesus spoke to the people there. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth. This is Jesus talking to his Father. By finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Then John 3, verse 36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains in him. And the last one is a very familiar verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This is the word of the Lord. Have you ever been to a family reunion, a gathering of people to celebrate life together, to enjoy each other's company, maybe to come and see people they haven't seen for a long time? It's usually a fun time and an uplifting time, something that's looked forward to and talked about later on. But we know that all those who attend that reunion have issues in their lives, and there's times when things are difficult. And they need to work through those. And the more they can work through those, the better they will be when they join together with family. When we talk about life, we usually talk and think about physical life, right? The life that we live in our bodies right here and right now. But did you ever think of the possibility of having two lives? As Christians, we do refer to our spiritual lives. We talk about how we are doing spiritually. So are there two separate lives? Adam and Eve were told that they would eat of the fruit of the tree in the garden, that if they ate of it, they would die. They ate the fruit, but they didn't die, at least not physically. That was confusing for me in my earlier years. So did they die spiritually? Spiritual life for them was their life with God. It had been perfect. Now it was broken. God said they would die, and they did die spiritually in the relationship with God. Because of that fall, we inherit that sinful nature. Ephesians 2, verse 1 says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Were we dead physically? No. but we were dead spiritually, separated from God. But in Ephesians 4, verse 4, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ. By his grace, he made us alive spiritually. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus was confused. He asked if he had to go into his mother's womb again. But Jesus was referring to a spiritual birth. He said this to him, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. Two lives, physical and spiritual. When we ask people how they are doing, we often refer to their physical lives. Are you feeling well? And are things going well in your life? But it also may be referring to how they're doing emotionally. Whatever the response, it's an indication of how we are experiencing life at that time, what the quality of life is for them at that time. But when we talk about eternal life, we most often think of life that never ends. Eternal, that's what it means. So let me pose this question. What if you would continue to live your life, your physical life that you are living now? What if it would never end? What if you would never die? Would that be eternal life? So if eternal life is not physically living forever, you may say that eternal life is just life after death. It's something in the future. So is it the same kind of life that we are living right now? No. Our physical life will have ended. Eternal life will be a new kind of life. It will be a better quality of life. It will be a perfect life, a spiritual life. It will be a life with God, the eternal creator of heaven and earth, the one who loves us. We will be in his presence continually. Nothing will ever go wrong. We will live in perfect harmony with God. It's just awesome to think about what that's going to be like. But we also will live in perfect harmony with each other. Yes, I believe we will be in relationship with each other. And we will be perfect there. There will be no hurt, no hard feelings, no broken relationships, no dissension. Everyone will be perfect. Eternal life will be of a quality that we can't imagine. There's lots of songs written in projections and revelations talks about the future, what it's going to be like. But it will be life at its best, a life with God forever. It is eternal life. Life that lasts forever in abiding fellowship with God. Eternal life I've been describing can only begin when we die. Everything will be perfect, and we know things are not perfect now. There's still sin in our world. There's still sin in our lives. We are not perfect, in perfect union with God. But the Bible promises eternal life now. John 5:24 says, he who hears God's word and believes in him has eternal life. Not will have. It's current, has. He has crossed over from death to life. When Christ becomes a part of our heart and life, we are no longer spiritually dead. Now we have a new life. This is a life that will never end. It is an eternal life. When Scripture tells us that we will never die, that is referring to spiritual life. When does that never-ending life start? It started as soon as we accepted Jesus into our hearts and lives, not some time in the future. If we have new life in Christ, and it is a life that never ends, eternal life has already started. We can know that. We can experience that. We're the beginning of a life eternal. But what about the quality of life? Isn't eternal life a perfect life? So how can we have eternal life in this imperfect world, this imperfect life? John 17, verse 3 says, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ." Eternal life is about knowing God. Do we know God? Yes, we do. Do we have a relationship with God? Are we united with Christ? Are we in His presence? Do we have a new life? Of course we do, and it will last forever. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that whoever believes in Him will never perish." Never perish, as in live forever. So we have eternal life now when we acknowledge Jesus' death and resurrection and the change it makes in us. We are in relationship with God. It's a new life. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. So what is the difference between eternal life now and the eternal life after we die? The difference is the quality. We will have eternal life perfectly when we die, but we also have eternal life now, even though it's imperfect, but we still have it. What does this mean for us? How does this impact our lives? We don't have to wait to experience it. It's not just a looking forward. We are in relationship with God now. We can talk to Him now, be in fellowship with Him now, experiencing His blessings now. When we die, our spiritual life will be made perfect by God. It'll be changed from an imperfect to a perfect life. But while we are still on the earth, the quality of our spiritual life is dependent on us. How much we yield to Him, how much we trust in Him, how much we seek His will, how much we are obedient to Him, how much we love Him, and how much we love others. And also how we receive what God has offered to us. It's not easy. It takes God's Spirit working within us. We are continually pulled away from what that spiritual life could be, often because we're focusing on ourselves and what we want. Eternal life here on earth is about the quality of life. Are we living a low quality of spiritual life? Are we distant from God during the week? Are we still living as if we're spiritually dead, like our neighbors who do not know you, know God? We have the opportunity to live a life that can be so rich and meaningful, so close in relationship with God. We can show our love for God. We can experience His love for us. But we also can love our neighbor. God instructs us to do that. We can still make a difference in other people's lives. When our physical life is over, we will have no more opportunities to show God's love to others. Maybe there is someone you know or associate with that doesn't have a right relationship with God. Then they will not have eternal life. This may be the time to point them to God. Maybe you can do it by telling your story. Our church just finished a series based on Bob Goff's book, Everybody Always. He shares how God has led him to make a difference to those around him, to be love to others. So why should we wait until the end of physical life to experience what God has for us now? We should be looking forward to our perfect eternal life, of course, in a way that encourages how to live that life more and more, right here, right now. We have crossed over from death to life. We have something to celebrate, the fact that we have eternal life. God sent his son as a baby that we may have eternal life. That is what we are celebrating in this season. We should be eternally grateful for what he has done for us. We can express that gratitude right now by how we live our lives. We are experiencing eternal life right now. Let's thank him for it. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for eternal life. We thank you for the promise of a perfect eternal life in the future when we die. But we thank you for eternal life right now, that it's the beginning of a life in relationship with you. Lord, I ask that each one here think seriously about how they can live out their life in a better way in this week. In this season, it's not a season about presents and lights. It's a season about love, your love for us in the opportunity we have to show love to one another. Forgive us when we fail to love those around us. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We will continue in worship with a song of response, Amazing Grace. You should stand and sing. Receive now God's parting blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine his face on you. May he give you peace. May his love be in your hearts and in your lives. May you go out to love and serve the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.